Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. With the holidays right around the corner, everyone's scrambling to run all their last-minute errands. Cleaning, cooking, buying presents, trying to quickly pass self-serving legislation before the public has time to scrutinize it. Oh, wait, how'd that get in there? Well, yeah, in Jersey, that's been a big part of Governor Christie's and the Democratic state legislatures last week. The package of three controversial bills included significant pay raises for government staffers, changes to an ethics law that would have allowed for Christie to profit off a prospective book deal in a way that he can't now, and a so-called newspaper revenge bill. The package did not end up passing yesterday, but we might be seeing some similar attempts coming up, and our heads are still spinning from how fast that all went down. Here to help us make sense of what's been going on the west side of the Hudson are two rock star New Jersey watchers, WNYC's New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon and the Star Ledger's Tom Moran. Hey, Tom. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Tom.
Thanks, Brian.
And despite that intro about this bill, I'm going to jump in with some breaking news that I see you have, Nancy, and it has to do with, drumroll, Bridgegate.
Yeah, what do you know? So the defendant's attorneys had put in a motion for a new trial, and they're basically saying, and so today we got their briefing, so we know what the argument is that they're making, which is that when the jury was deliberating on the two now convicted defendants, Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Baroni, when the jury was out deliberating, they came back with a note, and they asked the judge, do they need to find the defendants guilty of a retaliation scheme? Do they need to believe that that was the motive to then convict them of the fraud? And the judge said, no, you don't need to find that there was in terms of the motive. And the defense attorneys are saying that, you know, this is not the same thing as a bank robbery where it doesn't matter what the motive is. You rob a bank, you're liable for the crime. This is a case in which the motive, political retaliation, revenge, a theme for today, that is embedded in whether or not it is a crime or was a crime. And so that's the argument they're making.
Because you can close traffic lanes to the George Washington Bridge in Fort Lee for non-nefarious reasons, like a traffic study, which it wasn't.
Exactly. So one of the points that the defense attorneys make is that Bill Baroni, as deputy executive director of the Port Authority, was empowered to make decisions about allocation of resources. And if that allocation of a resource means closing lanes to the bridge, then he's allowed to do it. Now, this is their argument.
So that was their argument to the judge, but the jury convicted them anyway after being told that motive does not matter. And so what? This is an appeal? Based on that issue?
Yes. And now the federal prosecutor will have a chance to reply with their motion. And this will go up to an appellate court to decide whether there should be a new trial.
Sometime in 2017.
Right.
Any reaction to that, Tom, before we go on to the other things?
Well, just that the charge itself talked about misuse of resources. So I think motive is sort of embedded in that. So I don't know if this is angels on the head of a pin or what.
All right. Let's talk about this.
If they did, in other words, Brian, sorry, in other words, if it was a legitimate traffic study, that wouldn't be a misuse. So,
right. All right. Let's talk about this legislation that went down yesterday. How much was the staffers' pay raise? Who would have affected? Let me go to you first and ask the big picture. This was some kind of big I scratch your back, you scratch my back between Christie and the state legislature?
Yeah, especially Vinnie Prieto, the Assembly Speaker. This is how they do it. When they do something they know isn't going to be unpopular or can't be justified, they rush it through. They have a committee meeting on Thursday and a final vote on Monday. And in this case, they didn't even wait for the study from their own Office of Legislative Services to test the main claim, the main motive behind this, which is that it would save local governments money. The OLS on Friday, the day after the committees approved it and moved it onto the floor, concluded that it might not save any money at all and, in fact, could cost local governments money. But these guys, when they have a deal in the back room, don't pay any attention to the facts.
Exactly. I mean, it's got to raise a red flag, just the pace of something like this the week before Christmas. So, you know, I think we should have a debate about whether legal notices should be required to be printed in newspapers nowadays, given the, you know, digital formats that are available. I think that's a worthy debate to have. But to tack that on to Christie's book deal, which was a bill that would allow him to, it would have taken away the ethics law that says the governor can't make any outside income in addition to his salary. So he wanted to be able to sign a book deal and get that money this year. So the pace of it and the fact that all of this was attached together and that it was, you know, they introduced it a week ago on Monday and held the committee on Thursday, as Tom said. And when they introduced it on Monday, they didn't even put out a press release. I mean, it was just, you know, it was just so classic New Jersey politics.
So now let's look at these pieces of it a little bit, and we'll get to the so-called newspaper revenge bill. But on Christie being able to profit off his autobiography that I guess he plans to write, Governor Cuomo, I read, was paid $700,000 by HarperCollins for his autobiography that came out in 2015. So what's the issue here, Tom? Why shouldn't Governor Christie be able to profit off a book that he writes?
Yeah, I don't feel as strongly about this one, but it's noxious to people in New Jersey, and people really did care, because basically the governor has devoted his second term, after a pretty effective first term, he's devoted his second term to being a national political player. The governor's association, the presidential campaign, the endorsement of Trump and the role in the transition team. And people here are looking at all the crises around them, the 10 credit downgrades, the transportation system cracking apart, and saying, hey, shouldn't this guy be doing his job? So I think it sort of rubs salt in that wound and really caused an emotional reaction.
So the issue is, while he's still in office next year, can he publish a book and make money off it, Nancy? Is that the question? He can do it once he leaves office at the end of next year, but the issue is just, can he profit in 2017 from a book he releases?
Right. I mean, I don't think there's anything preventing him from not showing up at the State House every day and staying home and writing a book all year. What's the only check we have, you know, in preventing that kind of behavior, is saying he can't collect the money
while he's in office.
While he's in office. So, and, you know, and I think, you know, again, I agree with Tom that it's just, you know, it's this doesn't just come out of nowhere, the resentment of this idea that he would spend his last year in office writing a book. The resentment comes from the fact that, you know, first he ran the Republican Governors Association, then he ran for president. There has been no second term for this governor. He has not been in Trenton doing the work for the state.
And
I mean, Brian, if I can, I get a lot of emails and calls over the last couple of years from people saying he should be forced to give his salary back, let alone making extra money. And we're also paid for all the security for all his travel and his campaign and his fundraising for the Republicans. So there's a real fury. And I think,
and Tom, is your sense, though, when those people contact you, is there a sense that it's just, you know, New Jerseyans of all political stripes who are concerned that their governor isn't on the job? Or is it Democrats who don't like Christie and what he stands for, and this is an excuse to give him another knock?
I think primarily the second thing. I don't get it a lot from conservative Republicans, although you do get some. I mean, this guy's fall from grace has been Shakespearean when you think about it, from over 70 to 18% approval rating, a 50% drop. If I had time, I'd look and see, you know, when else that has happened in American politics. But it's dramatic. People really can't stand the guy. If I criticized him in the first term, I'd get a lot of pushback. If I criticize him now, I'd like kick him while he's down, you know, hit him again. It's really dramatic.
And so what would this bill have given to the state legislators? Was it a pay raise for them, Nancy?
No, it was a pay raise for their staff. Extra money that I think some of it was money they could just spend on their office in any way they want. And there was pay raise for Christie's cabinet members, for judges, prosecutors. So it's pretty broad. But, you know, of course, the teachers union quickly chimed in that it's been quite a while since teachers got a raise. So there was just, you know, there was no support for this thing at all.
Everything's the teacher's fault. Did you know that? The financial crisis, everything. And part three is this so-called newspaper revenge bill. Nancy, why does it have that nickname?
Well, because it is believed widely that Christie is taking revenge on reporters for Bridgegate, and that, and you know, wouldn't you think that of all people, Governor Christie would not want to go within, you know, 100 yards of anything that even had a whiff of revenge? I mean, this is the Bridgegate scandal was about revenge. And here he is. I mean, and let's not forget, a few weeks ago, really the only other day he's been on the job and done something, introduced some initiative that he's doing for the state of New Jersey, was announcing a $300 million renovation of his wing of the State House, which would kick out the press corps for 4 years and keep his successor out of the State House for 4 years while the whole place is being renovated. And you know, maybe it needs renovation, but that was painted as revenge. And now he comes along and says, I'm going to devote myself to taking this money away from newspapers.
Tom, since you work for the Star-Ledger, does your organization have a vested interest here that you should disclose?
Yes, and I did. It's awkward as hell, though. I'm used to writing about Christie targeting other people, and suddenly he's targeting us. So the more I looked at the policy behind this, the more sort of just in my opinion, terrible policy was. So we just decided, look, I'm going to go whole hog on this, but I'm just going to disclose up front that, yes, we are. I mean, I have friends who would probably face layoffs for this. Hmm. And, of course, I believe in the mission, and the mission would be crippled. It's not only would this lead to layoffs so you'd have fewer watchdogs, this would place a weapon in the hands of the sleaziest sort of politicians in New Jersey who could say to the local newspaper that this bill would make it optional. He could say, if you write bad stories, I'm going to pull the ads. And believe me, they would do that. So you have fewer watchdogs, and those that are left would have to fight against that. I mean, at a big paper like the Ledger, we'd tell them to go pound salt. But a lot of the little weeklies are facing going out of business over this. That'd be tough. You're laying off your friends, and you're damaging their families, and maybe you color your criticism of the politician who has that knife to your throat.
Listeners, any questions or comments on any of these New Jersey stories we're talking about, most of which get wrapped up into this one ball of legislation which went down to defeat yesterday, but elements of which may come back. 212-433-WNYC for our New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon and Tom Aran, columnist for the Star-Ledger. 212-433-9692. And let me just understand, Nancy, the newspaper requirement here. This is that notices of things like public hearings be printed in local print edition newspapers. Right. And I think some people are arguing that, yeah, what Tom said is important on one level, keep money flowing to newspapers because journalism is important, especially at a time when politicians are increasingly trying to marginalize journalism. But that's not why the law was passed. The law was passed so that the public would get adequate notice of public hearings that the government was holding. And that just isn't how the people get notices of public hearings anymore. They get it online and through social media.
Well, the law was passed in 1919. And in fact, it was in response to the fact that local politicians were either trying to curry favor with their local newspaper by giving them the advertising business or take it away when they reported on something they didn't like. So, Tom is exactly right that did exist, and it probably would exist again. I think, you know, what people are saying who about this question is, well, you know, do people really get all their information from print newspapers anymore, or could this be online and could it be done cheaper? You know, the problem with this has been that the figures that Christie himself put out to make his case are just so exaggerated and inflated that, you know, it's going to take some time to filter out the arguments about, you know, could towns save some money? I mean, there's one argument that by the time they spend their salary time posting this stuff and update their technology to make it all work, that they're basically going to be spending the same amount of money they're spending on the advertising. And, you know, so I think, you know, it's not the most pressing issue in New Jersey. That's the other issue,
right,
too. It's like, this is not what has put our budget into distress.
But this is what they're going back to debate, you know, yeah, 4 days before Christmas.
Right, exactly. That was the other aggravation in all of this, is it's like, this is your number one priority, is to take away this little bit of money that that newspapers get. It just stank from high holy.
Maybe there should be a requirement that the public hearing notices get expanded so that they are placed on online news sources too now, like, I don't know, Patch or whatever. Well, they are around the state, because that's not in the law, Tom, right?
Right. But if I could, but the New Jersey Press Association voluntarily has a website where all legal notices in the state are placed and it's searchable. That's the kind of thing you would not get after this law, because we wouldn't know about it. And I think it's important, Brian, to note that we're not saying these should be in newspapers instead of online. As I say, we do our own website. We're saying both.
Yeah.
You know, I looked up a 2016 Pew study on the internet digital divide, and it's still robust. The rates of use between young and old were 35 points different. And you saw similar differences among rich versus poor, educated versus uneducated. So if you say, if you want to get rid of legal ads, that's one argument. But if you say, look, if a developer wants to change the downtown or build a gas pipeline, and we have to let the public know, I don't know how you justify not letting the elderly know at the same, giving them the same access, or the poor or the uneducated. And you know what? This was rushed through so fast, they didn't even discuss that. It's a core point, along with the cost savings that are phony. They just went right through with it, because they make these deals before they look at the merits.
Yeah, people are calling up on this. Here is Nick, a former mayor in Clinton Township. Nick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
I think a big part of the issue here is, in New Jersey, we have what's called the Open Public Meetings Act, which guarantees the public the right to know what's going on in government and to actually participate in it. When I hear, as a former mayor, that being able to publish public notices on the web would be acceptable, it's really not, because the added problem it creates is that you can publish a notice, you can publish it late legally in violation of the law, you can then go back and change the notice so that it looks like you did what you were supposed to do. Again, in my experience as mayor, I've seen towns, boards of education, routinely violate the Open Public Meetings Act, trying to make sure the public doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
So being able to post in newspapers where it's indelible, it's a concrete record that you can't change, is absolutely critical. And this idea that we're going to save money, it's really nonsense, because most towns don't have full IT departments. They don't really understand how to deal with internet security and with what you're publishing online. Right.
Nick, thank you very much. I think we have another former mayor on the other side of the issue, Edin Metuchen. You're on WNYC. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm not on the other side.
Oh,
of the
I'm sorry.
Now.
I misunderstood.
I was.
Yeah.
Probably 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
When a local assemblyman, at my request, introduced a similar bill. Now, we were under enormous pressure. It was, you know, the time of the Great Recession. There were limited funds coming through from the state. However, I also had an opportunity to talk to a lobbyist from the Press Association. I don't remember the fellow's name. And at that time, he convinced me that this was not a good idea, primarily because he pointed out that a lot of these things were being paid for by law firms, banks, et cetera, rather than us posting zoning notices. However, I didn't have to worry about it, because the Press Association was so all over this at that time that my local assemblyman said that he had never received the pushback that he received on this bill. So I agree with the other former mayor that it was at that time, and I didn't realize it when I was pushing it, and it is at this time a really, really bad idea.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we're going to have to leave it there. Unless, Nancy, you have a last word about where any of this goes. Does it come back now, or is this all dead after yesterday's vote?
Well, Governor Christie says it's coming back. In fact, he says he's going to fight for his entire year left in office to get this passed. And I would add one more thing. I mean, there were just so many falsehoods in what he had to say about this over the last week. And one of them is that he continually refers to newspaper owners as billionaires. And, you know, that might
be... These little weeklies.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not true. And so, you know, I think we're going to have to continue to vet his statements and keep a close eye on the dealings on this over the next year.
You believe that he feels that he hasn't gotten a square deal by the media, and this is a way to exact revenge.
This is a man who has shown himself to be revengeful, and I think that our reporting has, in the Star Ledger and WNYC, has shown that quite clearly beyond Bridgegate. And so I don't think you can look at it in any other way.
Can I add one cent, Brian?
Yep.
The fact that both Assembly Speaker Vincent Prieto and the governor say this is a top priority is very revealing. We're talking about nickels and dimes where the state is falling apart. Their motive has to be to come get us. That's why it's so important. It's emotional to them.
The Star Ledger's Tom Moran and New Jersey Public Radio Managing Editor Nancy Solomon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will talk to the author of a new book called Are Racists Crazy? Stay with us.